Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and for this week, I'll be doing an episode of an animated series on Max, formerly HBO Max. There's quite a lot of people who have grown up with Hanna-Barbera stuff. Most of us probably know them for Tom and Jerry, but they are also known for Scooby-Doo, Yogi Bear, and a whole host of characters. They made a lot of TV shows during the 60s, 70s, pretty much well into, well, even modern day if you really look at it, considering that Cartoon Network as it is pretty much the modern Hanna-Barbera. And I'm not just saying that in terms of like, oh, you know, in spirit or anything like that. Like, no, Cartoon Network was pretty much built off of Hanna-Barbera's stuff. So, yeah, a lot of shows had their, you know, have their roots with this. And the show in particular that we're talking about is Jellystone. Now, before we go any further, I just want to say, if you're watching this on YouTube, I urge you to subscribe, like this video, and ring the bell for notifications. It helps the channel grow, and it lets me know that you're watching. Back to the show, Jellystone. The show that's pretty much a whole town of Hanna-Barbera characters. This has been going on for at least 3 seasons now. The general premise is, like I said, it's a whole town full of Hanna-Barbera characters. And I do like how they've changed it up a bit. A lot of these characters are not exactly as we remember them. Some of them are, but a lot of them are different. Pretty much the biggest thing is that since there are so many characters in the Hanna-Barbera lore that are just male, and if you want to create a whole town of them, it's like, well, you got to change some stuff up just to kind of balance it out. Like, you can't just have a whole town full of men. So a lot of the characters are reimagined as women. You'll have half of Top Cat's crew women. You have Jabberjaw, who's a woman in this. And I am personally fine with that. It's a reimagining of these characters, so I don't see why anyone would have an issue with it. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't heard much controversy regarding this, given that right-wingers love to just hate on anything that changes the genders of characters, but somehow this stayed under their radar, or maybe they just aren't aware that it exists yet. But yeah, that's generally what it is. A lot of characters are given new positions because, like, hey, well, if it's town, they gotta have some kind of role, like Yogi and Boo Boo are now doctors. No, Yogi and I'm forgetting his love interest, you know, like the female character, are doctors while Boo Boo is a nurse. You have Huckleberry Hound, who is the mayor of this place. You have Doggy Daddy with Oggy Doggy, and that's one of the examples of the whole gender flipping, where Doggy Daddy is still Doggy Daddy, but Oggy Doggy is now a girl. So, you know, you have basically a bunch of stuff like that. You have Johnny Quest and Taj being a married couple who runs a bowling alley. Again, stuff that you'd imagine conservatives would be mad about. Johnny Quest is now gay or something like that. It's all these kinds of things. It's pretty much a slice of life kind of show. Just stuff happens in the town of Jellystone. It's funny. It's silly. It's, you know, it's from C.H. Greenblatt. I hope I'm saying that right. He's the guy who made Chowder. He pretty much is responsible for this. And I mean, I dig it. For the most part, it's not something that I love watching all the time. For what it's worth, it is a fun reimagining of a lot of this stuff. A lot of the Hanna-Barbera stuff doesn't really hold up in terms of, you know, there are some clever writing in some of them, but because the animation's so poor, or because some of the stuff that they would say is kind of outdated now, you know, some of the stuff just doesn't land the way it used to, but, you know, there is charm in the characters and whatnot. So seeing them updated in a way that modern audiences can appreciate is fun. I like the fact that since it's a whole town full of these characters, it means that essentially everyone in this town is a recognizable face. to a point that there are some of these characters that are really deep cuts, characters that I've never even heard of before this show, because I'm like, you know, I used to think that I knew all the Hanna-Barbera stuff just because they used to show this stuff on Cartoon Network and Boomerang all the time, and I watched a lot of that when I was growing up, so I would assume, like, okay, I know all these stuff, and then they throw in a character that I've never even heard of. Like, for example, there's, like, these little kid, like, you know, robot, dog and cat characters that were apparently, like, their first animated series on TV, you know, from Hanna-Barbera. And I'm like, I've never heard of these characters, but that's kind of cool. And, yeah, it's just this whole general thing. And, like, in many ways, I kind of get reminded of The Simpsons, where, like, The Simpsons has, like, a whole town full of characters, and there's so many of them that we already know, that to a point that oftentimes, you know, backgrounds are just made up of characters that we fully know, which is not something that you usually get out of shows, especially ones with, well, even in movies where, like, you know, you have, like, whole crowds, like, a whole town or whatever, because you'll only know, like, the specific characters that you normally deal with. But because, you know, like in the case of The Simpsons, it's been on for so long, we already know so many characters from that they've become, you know, cast members of their own. This is kind of like that. Only difference is that with this one, it had the benefit of, like, okay, well, this is made up of characters that have already existed. So we literally have a whole town full of characters that, you know, there's no way that, like, there's no character in the background that is ever just a background character. They're all going to be people that have at one point been on a show, led their own show, whatever. But, you know, that's all cool. It is different in that regard to so many other shows. And it is fun because it allows for the show to explore a bunch of different characters' lives. Like, you'll have a lot of episodes focused on very specific characters, rather than just being like, okay, well, every episode's going to be Yogi and Boo Boo or whatever. It's like, no, well, you know, since we have a whole town of characters that have at various points led their own shows or whatever in Hanna-Barbera's history, they're going to be able to lead their own episode for this show, which is why the name is so perfect for the show, because the name of the town is Jellystone, which, of course, is a Yogi Bear reference. So, you know, it's the rare instance where, like, yes, the town is the cast. You know, the town is the main character. But with all that set up, you know, I do have to get along with what episode I'm specifically talking about, which is the season 3 premiere episode, which focuses on the future. And, of course, if you know Hanna-Barbera and their future, you know what characters are introduced. I haven't seen much of season 3, I'll be upfront on that, but I've seen a lot of clips going around, and that's kind of why I decided to go into it. Because while I did enjoy the show, it was just like, okay, well, it's not the highest thing on my priority list, but, you know, I do want to check it out. And when I started seeing, like, okay, well, there's this and this and this that pops up, more, like, basically it feels like this time around they're, like, really free to go in on some of the more popular characters that they haven't utilized yet on the show. I was like, okay, well, I need to put it higher on my list and, you know, watch it more closer on release than, you know, previous, because when it came to, like, the original run, I didn't watch it until almost 3 months after or so. But yeah, the whole episode deals with the future, so of course we get the Jetsons. The premise of the episode being that the future sucks, pretty much like any other thing. Robots have taken over, robots are destroying society, and the kids in this future are pretty much like, okay, well, there's this time hole. It's pretty much like this big gaping hole on the ground that in most other cartoons, it's usually like, oh, it'll send you to the other side of the world. In this case, it's like, okay, well, it'll send you back to the past. Don't question it, just roll with it. And they send the robot dog and cat, I believe they're Rough and Tough. I'm kind of blanking out on their names right now, but they go back to the past, which is pretty funny because, you know, they set it up as if this is like their first time coming to this town, even though they've appeared before, if I'm not mistaken. So you have Rough and Ready. I swear I did not just look that up. I promise. In the past, here to basically tell everyone, like, hey, look, you know, we got to do something because in the future, robots are going to take over. Huckleberry Hound assembles a group of people who are like, okay, well, these are the people who are going to stop the robot uprising. It's Elkabong. In this show, Quickdraw McDraw is always Elkabong. You have Yogi, Captain Caveman, because as he points out that he knows a thing or two about waking up in an unfamiliar time. Doggy Daddy, I believe that was, yeah, and it was just Doggy Daddy deciding, like, okay, we're going to go with these two to figure out what happens in the future and stop this apocalypse from coming to pass. So they go into the time hole. Shenanigans ensue because Doggy Daddy is separated from them and instead goes into the past. But the other three pretty much go into the future, and it's right before the robot uprising where they meet the Jetsons. And the Jetsons are the welcoming committee. And it's funny how they introduce them here, where you have, they're all pretty much the same characters, realistically, just with different outfits. Except for Elroy, who's silent throughout the whole thing, because they play off the whole thing. Like, okay, well, you know, he's a kid, so he's always on his, like, you know, phone, or pretty much always obsessed with technology. And they're trying to figure out what exactly happens in the future. And it's funny enough that it's revealed, like, okay, this is not even that far into the future. It's only, like, a year after the events of where the current day happened. So, essentially, it's not even that far into the future, which I know it's a joke. I kind of have to wonder if part of that was just a gag on the fact that the Jetsons are no longer that far into the future. Like, if you were to go into when those cartoons were supposed to be set up, taking place in, I believe they mentioned it's, like, 2005 or 2010 or something like that. If I'm wrong, you know, by all means, correct me. But I'm pretty sure I've heard it's like, oh yeah, it's not, they have a specific year. So now the Jetsons are kind of outdated, if you think about it. I don't know if that's the joke that they were going for, but regardless of it, it is a funny enough joke. Like, okay, yeah, it's only been a year into the future and things completely changed because it's the future, regardless of it not being that far into the future. Which, as the Jetsons take the heroes in, minus Doggy Daddy, who's off on his own adventure, it turns out that they have Rosie, and of course, they have Rough and Ready freaking out because they're like, oh, that's the robot that causes the uprising. Because I guess in the future, it turns out that Rosie becomes an evil killer. And we do get like a story, you know, in terms of how that happens. And essentially, it comes down to, if they hadn't gone to the future, they probably wouldn't have caused this whole thing. Or, I'm not sure. Like, they kind of play it off as like it's kind of Yogi's fault that all of this happens. So, again, you know, this feels like something that could have been avoided if they just stayed in their own time period. But it doesn't matter. You know, it leads to some action. They save the day. All is well. And, yeah, you know, it's just a pretty simple premise. It's funny. I laughed a lot throughout it. I mean, just seeing Yogi bug Rosie the robot by asking her a bunch of insanely stupid questions was hilarious. And it really highlights, like, if you've never seen this show before, why this show is funny, just because it's like, yeah, it's taking familiar characters, some of which you may love, some of which you may not care for because, you know, you just found the humor to be too boring. Again, they're old shows, so a lot of that is probably not good for like a modern audience, like not in terms of anything being offensive particularly, but just because the writing is kind of stale for a modern audience, because it's like either stuff has already been done to death and newer things, or because the animation was so stiff, it just doesn't do anything special for newer audiences. But regardless of it, it does showcase like how these characters can still be fun to a new audience. And in this particular scenario, I was just like, yeah, you know, it's a really funny show. It's definitely something that you can tell was written by the guy who made Chowder. And I'm not sure if in this episode you also had the creator Billy and Mandy involved, because I know he's also involved with this show. But, you know, regardless of it, you can tell that it has that Cartoon Network charm to it. So it's kind of funny just seeing how Hanna-Barbera, you know, essentially started out the way they were, and that eventually led into Cartoon Network, because, you know, again, as they were pretty much getting older, it's like, okay, well, you know, this is where we're going to be doing our shows. Hanna-Barbera eventually became the Cartoon Network Studios. So it almost feels like it's kind of gone full circle, where it's like, okay, now we're doing a show with the characters that built Cartoon Network, essentially. And, you know, just giving them the style of humor and writing and everything that was known for the Cartoon Network stuff. Stuff that, you know, for a lot of people feels a lot more rapid fire, smarter, more energetic. Like, you know, the animation, of course, is a lot better. So, like, even if you were to go back to when Cartoon Network was still fairly new, the animation was still a lot better than what you would get out of Hanna-Barbera stuff. So that's just kind of neat. For the most part, I do recommend watching the show. But because it is a show that isn't really all that dependent on lore or watching it in a certain order, you can go at it from any episode. You don't have to go at it from the first season and go in on that. You could, of course, if you're into doing stuff in order, but me personally, I'm not too big on that kind of thing. Personally, I would recommend just looking at the episodes, see what titles or summaries interest you. This is a good one to start on if you've never seen the show. It's because, again, it's a really funny one, and it has, you know, a lot of familiar characters that, you know, a lot of you probably are aware of. But even if it wasn't, I would still say, yeah, this is the one to watch. I don't necessarily think it's the best episode on the show that I've seen so far, but it is a very strong one. It's a very fun one. And it just perfectly captures, like, what the show essentially is. A town full of characters with Hanna-Barbera backgrounds. I don't really have much more to say on it, which I know makes this a very short episode. But for what it's worth, Jellystone, great time. Fun show, especially if you're a Hanna-Barbera fan. If you're not, you'll still probably get a laugh out of it, because most of us probably have some connection to Hanna-Barbera, even if we don't really love those old shows. Just a perfectly fun way to just kill some time. So, thanks again for watching, and I'll see you again next time.
We'll try to read this.
I am human? Oh, is that what this says?
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcast on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.